Please find in your Bible Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. We speak this message today on this Memorial Day weekend and kind of want to add a little piece to the thought of Memorial Day and give you some thoughts from a biblical position about a view of death, particularly those in your family who have died that you love, maybe a friend that has died, and just a reminder, so to speak, of what's in their future, and if you're in Jesus Christ, what's in your future as well. The book of Philippians is in a section of the Bible called the prison epistles, meaning the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison. He didn't know if he was going to get out of prison alive. He was facing a possible execution. And so these are very incredible short letters, and Philippians is just incredibly powerful. And that text that I'm going to read is Philippians 1:21. Really goes counterculture to where we are today in America. But he simply writes this in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now that is quite an incredible perspective about life and an incredible perspective about death. Now as we're living, we all want to fight for life. We don't want to rush the day of our death. We don't want to bring that to us prematurely. We fight and cling to life. I think about that old story about the pastor who was talking to some elementary age boys. And he said, "How many of you boys want to go to heaven?" And every one of them raised their hand but one. And he looked at that one and said, "Well, son, don't you want to go to heaven?" And he said, well, yes, I do. He said, "Well, why didn't you raise your hand?" He said, "Well, I thought you was getting up a group to go right now." So we want to put that off as long as we can. We cling to life. It's precious to us. That in itself is counterculture to the culture of death in which we live right now. One of the most dangerous places that a baby can be in America is inside his or her mother's womb. And there is a movement that is gaining momentum that when you get to a certain age and you begin to have some illnesses and health issues, just better to put them away and let them die. And so we're kind of seeing this culture of death. In face of that culture of death, we recognize that the gospel is a gospel of life. And so we cling to life as long as we can. And if we have this view of a life and death, then it is an absolutely incredible and powerful thing that motivates us to live. Even in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 1, he says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth." So he says, the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. And Paul says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so how can you get that kind of a perspective about life and death? Well, the Bible tells us that the sting of sin is death, and it's an enemy. And so the beautiful thing is Jesus Christ has taken the sting out of it. How many of you have ever had an encounter with a stinging scorpion? Did you raise your hand? You ever been stung by one? Nasty, isn't it? I never got stung by one because I'm smart enough not to mess with them. But I will tell you, if you take your pocket knife off, and I've done this, and you cut their stinger off, a scorpion is a harmless little critter. He's got little pinchers he can't pinch. He's just totally, completely, absolutely harmless. You could put him in the crib with your baby. He wouldn't bite. It's just totally harmless because he's lost his stinger. And so Jesus Christ has taken the stinger out of death. And so Paul could say, the writer of Ecclesiastes could say, the day of one's death is better than his birth because to live is Christ and to die is gain. Well, let's just talk for a moment about your view of death. What do you think happens when somebody dies? You don't have too many options. Do you know that? You can choose to believe in reincarnation, if you would like. Reincarnation has a circular view of life. The Bible has a linear view of life, but reincarnation is circular. So when you die, you come back and have life in another way. If you do really good, then you may come back as a human being and do really, really well. If you do not so bad, you may come back as a human being with a more difficult life. And in some religions, if you do really, really good, you'll come back as a cow. And they live really, really good. You can't bother them. I can't really connect that dot, but nonetheless, I doubt if we have anybody here that embraces reincarnation, but that's an option that people have. Another one is nihilism. Nihilism simply says nothing happens. When you die, it's over. It's done. Now, if that is the case, then nothing matters. You realize that, don't you? Nothing matters at all. If there is nothing after this life, I'm telling you what we do, what we say, how we act, what we don't do, nothing has any meaning at all. It's just this gigantic accident, and we're all just kind of floating around waiting for it to end. What a horrible way to live. There was an actor who was being interviewed, and someone in his family had died, and the interviewer asked him a very pointed question and says, "What do you think happens when you die?" And his answer was, "Well, I hope the people who loved you will remember you." And that was the only hope that the guy had. And so nihilism is catching root across America. Nothing's going to happen because God really is not involved. And then there's another view, and there's probably a lot of people who actually believe this and you don't even know it. People think life is kind of a balance scale. So if your good stuff outweighs your bad stuff, then you're going to go to heaven. And if your bad stuff outweighs the good stuff, then you won't. Now, there's all kind of problems with that. The first problem is, how do you know when you're good enough? How do you know when you've tipped the scales where you're good enough? And the second question is, what about justice for the bad stuff that you did? Now, the bottom line is, none of you that I'm looking at today, and I put myself in the same group, none of us are as bad as we could be. Would you agree with that? We're not as bad as we could be. But all of us know how bad we can be, don't we? I mean, the potential in us is pretty enormous for evil. And so if you're living on that balance scale, it's a terrible way to live. It's a life of slavery. And then we've got this biblical view. And the biblical view does admit that we have bad stuff we have to deal with, but the gospel is translated, the word means good news. And part of the good news is the after death part of the gospel. And so Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came and lived a perfect life. So he didn't have any bad stuff that he had to answer for. He willingly went to the cross to pay what we owed for our bad stuff. And he paid that price in full. And when we embrace him as our Lord and as our Savior, Master, we trust him, then he applies what he did on the cross to us. Therefore, after we die and we stand before God, all he sees is the good. The bad is covered up by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that gives us incredible freedom. And it's the plank upon which we stand. It's what Paul was standing on. It was what the writer of Ecclesiastes understood. So that the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. And to live is good. It's Christ. But to die becomes gain. Now, if you have never embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to hold on to life as long as you can, because something really bad is waiting for you on the other side. But the great news is, today, the invitation is open for you to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ and enter into a whole realm of life that will be absolutely incredible and astounding to you. So, I want to give you four quick statements today about how we could view dying as gain. And it's why you can view, if you have someone in your life that you love who has died, you can see how their death, though painful for you, is actually and ultimately a gain. So, first reason, to die is gain because of the person to whom it takes us. And the person to whom it takes us is Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in another place is when we are absent from the body. Anybody know how the rest of that ends? We are at home with the Lord. So when someone dies, what makes that person leaves the body. And when you're absent from the body, you're at home with the Lord. And so the person to whom death takes us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, where I am, I will receive you to myself. So it's kind of exhilarating to think that when that loved one passed from this life to the next, they were taken into the very presence of Jesus Christ. That's the reason that death is gain. A pastor was visiting a man on his deathbed. The guy said, yes, I know the Lord, but I'm really concerned and anxious about what's in front of me. And the pastor's advice was to him, just begin praying and begin talking to God and he'll help you get through this. And the man said, well, you know, I do know the Lord, but I've never really been a praying person. I don't even know how to pray very well. I don't even know how to do that. And so the pastor said, well, just imagine that instead of me sitting here at this chair beside you, imagine in your mind that it is Jesus sitting here. And when you just look at this empty chair, when I'm gone, imagine it's Jesus and you just talk to him the same way you're talking to me. And the man said, okay, I'll give that a try. And so that went on for a little bit. The pastor came back to visit him a few weeks later. And the caretaker said, well, no, that guy has passed away. We hate to tell you. And he said, well, I'm sorry that I wasn't here to see him. And they said, but you know, there's a strange thing about it. When he had died and we went in and found him, he was leaning off of his bed and his head was resting in the seat of that chair beside him. We couldn't know what was happening. The pastor knew. The man was imagining Jesus sitting there. He put his head in his lap and went on to be with him. And so death is gain because of the person to whom it takes us. Now, what's that going to look like when we step into the Lord's presence? The scripture tells us that when we see him, we'll recognize him, and we're going to be just like him. Now, let's just probe that a minute. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he had a body that they could touch, a body that ate. He prepared the meal and ate with them. He could also, like, disappear and stuff and go through walls. You say, preacher, you're getting like Star Wars stuff now. But that's what he did. And we're going to have a body that's like his resurrected body. And it's going to be a body that is immune from sin. It's immune from illness. It's immune from aging. And it's going to be absolutely astounding. The Bible says that when Jesus was crucified, he was around 32 or 33 years of age. And so I choose to believe, and you don't have to believe this if you don't want to. You know, you can be wrong. It doesn't matter to me. That our body that we're going to get is going to be like a 32, 33-year-old body. I believe when God created Adam and Eve, he created them as a 32, 33-year-old body that would live forever. And so the older I get, the better that sounds. So if you've passed that age, go look at pictures of what you look like then and say, dude, I'm looking good. If you hadn't got there yet, take care of yourself. And so when we see him, we're going to be like he is. And so death is gain for Paul. There he is in prison, chained up in a nasty spot. And he said, it's going to be a whole lot better. So to die for him is gain. And to die for us is gain because of the person to whom it takes us. Secondly, to die is gain because of the place to which it brings us. Jesus Christ said, where I am, there you will be also. And he's talking about heaven. Now, you may know this already, you may not, but the Bible talks about four different earths. Did you know that? You have the earth when it was created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth in its creation was absolutely perfect. It was in balance between God, man, animal, plant. Everything was in beautiful harmony, no friction, no issues, no problems. It was the absolute perfection of God's intention for life. Well, that earth got messed up when Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, the earth changed. God cursed some of the stuff, and it was no longer in harmony. The relationship between man and God was jacked up. The relationship between man and animals got jacked up. The relationship between man and nature got jacked up. And so everything got messed up. That was a very violent earth, very hard earth, difficult earth. That was the second earth. The third earth occurred after the flood. The flood came, the waters withdrew, and now there's a third earth, different from the second and from the first. That's the earth we live in right now, the one after the flood. Revelation tells us that the day is coming when God is going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be a restored earth the way God intended it to be, redeemed and made whole through Jesus Christ. And we're going to have a body that is absolutely astoundingly perfect. And so we've got a new heaven and a new earth in front of us and a new body. And so for all of these reasons, the place to which it takes us is why death can be viewed as gain. Back when I was a young preacher, I went to a funeral in East Texas, and there was an old preacher doing it, and he told a story. I use it oftentimes when I do a funeral, and I've shared this with our church before. I'm going to do it again, one, because it's really clearly illustrates what I'm talking about, and two, because I really like the story. But he said that if you think about living life here on this earth as a constant diet of spinach. Now, I like spinach, I'll be honest with you. That would be too bad if you had spinach all the time. I don't know, but... And he said, if you can imagine that when you get to heaven, they put up the spinach and bring out the banana pudding. And then he said this, nobody, after getting the banana pudding, wants to go back to the spinach. So let me just tell you something. If you have a mother, a father, grandmother, grandfather, husband, wife, son, daughter, grandchild who has died in Jesus Christ, they're eating the banana pudding. And if they were given the choice to come back, they would say, no, thank you. I'm done with the spinach. And so because of that, we can say to die is gain. Now, that doesn't mean we rush it. We still cling to life. But to live as Christ, to die is gain. Third reason to die is gain is because of the provision with which it affords us. In Matthew 5:12, Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. And then Revelation 14:13 sheds a little light on that. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. And so it's talking about rewards that follow those in Christ into eternity, and those rewards last for eternity. And so there's meaning and purpose in life. This is where meaning comes in. Everything that we do in the name of Christ is going to follow us into eternity. Every little thing that we do, even giving a cup of cold water, he says, every big thing in our view that we do, all of that is going to be part of rewards that's going to be chasing us down throughout all of eternity. And so it's an incredible thought to think that blessings are just coming that we aren't even going to know about. William James said this, the greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Now, let me repeat that. The greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. And so if we put a gospel angle on that statement, then any project, anything in which we invest our life that's going to live on past us in the name of Christ, that's going to keep bringing eternal blessings into our life. And so what that means is that if any of you ever worked in Level Up, or if any of you ever worked at Upward, any of you ever served in the Bible study for little kids, and it wore you out, and you go on to your reward, you get into heaven, and you get all these rewards coming your way, and you're thinking, where do these come from? And God says, well, little Tommy, who was a hellion before you in your Bible study class, heard what you said, gave his life to Christ, and he is serving me, and blessings are coming through him, and you're sharing in his blessings because you invested in his life. That's an incredible thought. So we think about this building that we're in right now. It's going to outlive us. And for generations, there are going to be people who come to know Christ and whose lives are put together through what happens with these roots. And long after we're in heaven, there's going to still be rewards coming our way. Our works follow us for all of eternity. Now, there was a survey that I read about that was taken of people who were 95 years of age. Now, 95 is pretty doggone old. And so the question they asked them, if you could do over your life, what would you do differently? Now, that's a great thing to ask somebody that's 95. And they had three basic answers. One was, I would reflect more. They said, I'd think more a little bit. Maybe think about what I was going to do or whatever. Second one was, I would risk more. I would risk more. The third thing they said, if they could do over, I would do more things that would live on after I am dead. That's great wisdom for us to think about. Three things for a do-over. Think more. That's probably a good thing. Risk more. If you got something you always wanted to do, won't you go after it? Invest in something that's going to live on after you're gone. Thinking about this building, I can remember 4 or 5 years ago, man, this was kind of on the radar, and I was praying about it and thinking about the risk. And it is risky business, you know. And so I was before God, and so this kind of thought came, look, you won't get this chance again. So why don't you just go for it and see what happens? And you know what? I did it. We went for it. Aren't you glad we did that? It's turned out incredibly well, and who knows what's in our future. So you got to sometimes risk something. You got to step out of your comfort zone and give something a shot. 7, 8 years ago, maybe more now, I don't even remember, maybe a little more than that, I was the chairman of a search committee looking for the next president for the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. A huge job, overseeing 3,000 missionaries or so. And so we had a guy on the team with me who was recommended to us to be considered as president. And so he came to me and he said, well, Brother Jim, what do you think? What do you think I ought to do? You think I ought to resign from the committee so y'all can consider me? What do you think? You think I have a shot? Well, to me, I didn't think he had much of a shot, but I didn't know. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what you need to think about. I said, think about when you're 85 years old, you're sitting somewhere by the fireplace underneath a cover. You don't want to be thinking, what if? You don't want to be there either, do you? And so he resigned from the committee. We actually considered him, interviewed him. He didn't get the job. He wasn't the right man at the right time. But do you know that earlier this year, that same man actually became the president of the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he will be preaching for us. He's got like a 2-year schedule, but we've got him coming before too long to preach. And so the point of that is, take a shot at it. Take a risk at it. Why not? Don't be sitting around in your old age saying, what if? And make an investment in something that's going to outlive you. To die is gain because of the provision with which it affords us. And then the last reason that I would share with you today, death is gain because of the people with whom it unites us. We're going to be united with our families, with our friends, and it's going to be an incredible reunion. And so you think about, a lot of people do these DNA things and they find out their family ancestry. And you know, we all share common ancestors. Did you know that? We go back to Noah. We go back to Adam and Eve. But looking at that, it's very interesting. And how many hundreds of people in your family who knew Jesus Christ that you don't even know who they are, but you're going to be introduced to them? It's going to be absolutely a beautiful thing. When I was serving in Austin, we had an old guy in the church. He was a very healthy, very active guy. He's getting into his 90s. He was directing a ministry. He'd come by our office and put out a newsletter to his people. He'd come in and sit and we'd talk. Man, I loved him. Great guy. Incredible man of faith. So we're sitting there one day and, man, he's old. I'm in my 30s. He's in his 90s. And, dude, he's old. And I said, "Brother, you know what?" He said, "What?" I said, "You got all your friends sitting around in heaven. They're looking around and they're thinking that you went to hell." He says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Dude, all your friends are in heaven. You're not." And they're wondering, "What happened to him?" The point is, a day will come, he'll join them. And he has. He's together. Now, I wasn't at this particular funeral I'm going to tell you about. And I hesitate to tell you, but since I told the early group, I might as well jump right in, right? But this guy was preaching a funeral for this woman who had died. He'd been their pastor for a while. He knew her very well. Her husband had died about 6 or 7 years earlier. And so he kind of talked about them and he said, "Well, his time of resting in peace is over." I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what he said. I would never say anything like that. I've thought about it a couple of times. But the point is that there's going to be a reunion. We're going to be getting together again. Your father, your mother, grandparent, son, daughter. You're going to get together again. It's going to be awesome. Now, I don't know how all that's going to work. I'll tell you, my mother died when she was in her early 60s. And a few years later, my dad remarried a wonderful lady. And she died a few years before he did. And we were at the funeral for my dad. And somebody said, "What do you think is going to happen with those two wives?" I said, "I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to let God deal with that. That's his problem, not mine." But we're going to relate differently. We're going to relate perfectly. It's going to be incredible, astounding. And so Paul could say, you know what? Death is gained because of the people with whom it's going to unite me. Well, it's a personal joy for me to think about that. To think about, I'm going to see all those again. And so because of that, I'm not getting on the bus today. But for these reasons, I can say that for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Now, I'd like to finish up. We're going to sing another worship song in a moment. Which option regarding life after death do you embrace? I don't think it's reincarnation. I kind of doubt if any of you guys are reincarnation people. I doubt if there's anybody in here who say, "Well, I'm a nihilist, a nihilist. I don't believe there's anything out there." But I have a hunch there's probably some in here who are thinking that balance scale is about right. And you're trying to be good enough to get there. I'm telling you, you're missing the boat. The biblical way, the Jesus way, is to have your faith firmly planted in Him. Recognizing that what He did on the cross was for you. And that through Him, apart from any good stuff that you could ever do, we have access and forgiveness and freedom and eternal life. And I would just tell you, if you would like to get that into your life, if it's not there, while we're singing this next song, we'll have staff here at the front. And man, if God is speaking into your heart, you know that He's speaking to you. Please make your way to one of these staff and tell them, "I want that in my life. I want to be able to view death as gain. I want to be able to have my sins forgiven. I want to have the Lord living in me. I want to receive the gift of eternal life. I would just encourage you, I beseech you, I would beg you, make your way to one of these ladies or gentlemen and tell them that you would like for them to help you place their faith in Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us today, we thank you for being with us. You've honored us by being here. God is doing great things in our church. We are doing things that are going to outlast us all. And if you would like to get in on that, we would love to welcome you into our church family. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe your membership's off somewhere else, and you believe God would have you and your family be here, please feel free to come and share that with one of our staff during this song as well. We'll go to a private place and we'll make that happen for you. But let me just challenge you. Let me just challenge you and encourage you. I pray you're blessed on this Memorial Day to think about those that you know and love who've gone on. Death for them in Christ was gain. Make certain that for you, to live is Christ, and to die will be gain. Let's stand together as we worship. Staff is here to greet you. I invite you, please, make your way to one of these and share with them how you would like to make a response to Jesus Christ. As we worship, I invite you to come. Would you right now? Let's sing. Would you come?